Hello and welcome to the Vancouver Tech Podcast. My name is James.
And I'm Drew.
How's it going, Drew?
Great. We have an exciting week coming up.
Yeah, especially if you're into Tuesday meetups.
Tuesday meetups, yeah. We also have some interesting stuff today, I think, because there was a little bit of divergence. We had we found some pretty clear differences in the way we think and some of the things that we think we should be talking about or not. And I think that makes for some interesting discussion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dun, 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 dun.
Meetups around town. How about last week? We both went to the same meetups, I think.
We sure did. went to a couple of the same ones. We started off on Monday, I believe, was the first day of meetups. And how was that?
That was Hackernest, and it was great.
It was pretty awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was at Estuary, their new office, I guess. One floor below, but
so
they have the whole floor.
So Estuary is growing. Yeah. There's probably no surprise. They are a pretty big company, and I think they have quite a big network. But yeah, they have their offices on the 8th floor. They have some of their staff on their 7th floor now. Mm-hmm. But I think their plan and their idea going forward is to keep most of the 7th floor for event space, giving it a lot of room. They had a lot of room.
Yeah, they didn't even use all the room that was available to them. They had so much room.
Absolutely.
That whole corner was empty.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And we had about 150 members turn up. We've been going through some pretty incredible growth, actually, with Hackernest. And that's great. And there was definitely a space that could accommodate it.
And you had some good sponsors too, right?
We sure did. So Black Kettle, they brought some amazing beer. They brought that cask and they brought a bunch of bottles to sample.
Yeah.
That was excellent. I really like Black Kettle's beer. And Grindr, they actually sent some people up from Hollywood just for the event. So that was really great. And of course, Lighthouse Labs.
Yeah, absolutely. And we saw each other at the Digital Agency Day as well, which is in the same building as Mogo, right?
That's right. That was at Unbounce. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted to stop by. I wasn't really sure what Digital Agency Day was all about,
sure,
to be honest. But I saw, oh yeah, there's something at Unbounce. I haven't been there for a while. And I wanted to go by, say hi, see if I could, you know, recognize some faces. And sure enough, it was a really great event to go to. I'm still not sure what Digital Agency Day was all about. I think it had something to do with marketing agencies or online.
Yeah, I actually, we talked about Unbounce quite a few times because I've had a bunch of events there. And I finally know what Unbounce does, which is they do landing pages. And those pages are basically, the whole idea is to promote conversion. Whatever your target is or whatever your goal is for people to do, their job is to make that goal, you know, accomplish that goal that you set. Whether it's collecting emails or getting views or getting people to buy tickets, whatever that conversion is that you set up, their whole job is to make sure that you maximize that conversion. So I finally know what they do, and that is relevant to
only one in Vancouver.
Well, I mean, I only went there, and I mean, the name doesn't necessarily depict what they do. I mean, most companies maybe they don't, but I found that
I think that's very ironic. We had some interesting conversations about analytics and things like that. Unbounce, I would say their name very much reflects what they do.
Undo bouncing?
They prevent
bouncing. Prevent bouncing?
Right. Well, yeah. Like their landing pages and.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty.
So they're pro-conv Unbounce. Yeah. Yeah. But they target agencies because a lot of agencies may use them for their clients. Like, oh, we have a client, they have an event coming up. Let's use them for something. So it'd be cool to use them for an event if you're looking to do that.
Yeah. Professionally, I haven't used it personally just because I'm not on marketing teams. But our marketing team at ActiveState definitely did, and always had a really great impression of the products. But it was really good. We got to meet some people, obviously, at Unbounce, who were great, excellent hosts. And they had good beer and wine as well. And some other people. So Alice, we met as well. And she does, what does she do? Employee benefits?
Yeah, she has employee benefits.
And I thought this was interesting because I was like, okay, yeah, employee benefits. I know what that is. What do you actually do, though? And so it's neat. So she helps particularly smaller startups, things like that, when they're just starting to hire people, but they also need to do the benefits. And that's apparently a lot of work. I'd never thought about it. And now that I do think about it, it seems obvious. That's probably a lot of paperwork. It's government stuff. It's taxes. It's benefits in this case. So she handles those kind of packages, and that seems great.
We bonded over HSAs, health savings accounts.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So that was a good event, and it definitely wasn't the only thing going on Tuesday.
Let's jump in this week coming up.
I didn't have a chance to go to the OpenDNS Hack Night last week, which I really wanted to, but this week. So this was one that I think we I wanted to put on here the VanLug board meeting, so the Linux users group, and it's not necessarily a very technical one. I kind of put this here because I thought it's interesting we have this meetup group that has this board of directors with like really sort of pompous titles.
They're probably collecting a significant salary for that title, right?
I don't know. I can't imagine that they would be.
Yeah.
But it seems pretty interesting. Anyway, that's happening February 1st at SFU. It's a board meeting, and I think they said if you're a first-timer, it's probably better not to show up, or not recommended to show up.
It's an admin meeting, so...
Right.
You know,
so I also found this to be interesting. In the modern-day world, and I think Linux users are hopefully in that. Do we need these sort of in-person board meetings? Can't we sort of automate a lot of that process?
Yeah, or maybe like just put it in a Slack channel or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that might make sense. On the other hand, maybe it is essential to have these face-to-face meetings.
Yeah.
I know it's something that as a company, we often, we have both.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe it is good to have a good mix of that. And you know what? Maybe we'll just pop in and have a look and see.
Yeah, peek through the window.
Yeah.
And then that same Monday.
Yeah, so here's one that I really like. It doesn't have high attendance, which is actually a super good thing.
Yeah. So don't tell anyone.
Yeah. No, dude, but exploring Git. So kind of Git help, things like that. When if you're struggling with Git, or if you want to help some people out with Git, or if you have questions as far as, you know, which sort of workflow should I do? What is branch per feature? How do I integrate that? And you want to come out and talk to an expert, there you go.
Talked to Adam Dimitrik, who's your friend and the host of this Explore Git event, and I was asking him about what the common pitfalls of Git are, or what people kind of get hooked up. And he said, when people are moving from other version control systems, that's the biggest challenge for some people, because there's a lot of different conventions. But he said that it's really, the event is for anyone from that's just starting to, you know, that already has a lot of like advanced, you know, use cases that they have that they're in.
But I thought I was having a flashback to 2011 here. But yeah, I'd be pretty surprised if people were still like, "Oh, we're on SVN."
Yeah,
you know,
or Mercurial was the one that he was talking
Mercurial,
about.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I've gone there and helped some people with things, anything from like, you know, squashing commits or why when you might do that. And Adam's kind of against that sort of thing, and I kind of like his idea of not squashing commits and kind of keeping your history, because if you're using Git and you're able to filter your output properly, you can really benefit from a lot of that, which doesn't seem to be the case with most developers.
I think if you're doing branch per feature, you probably don't need to squash your commits until it's merged into the master. But anyway.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, even that's the time not to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
So that everybody can see it.
Yeah.
Especially picking to actually show all of the history. I'm saying I mean, especially imagine if you're doing a code review and you're kind of looking into what was the thought process behind this, how did this develop as a bug, or how did this happen, and you want to see each step along the way, and really get into the mind of the person who was making this commit. You're not going to be able to see that in a squash.
Yeah, definitely.
If they're all
squashed. I never saw the point, but anyway.
Yeah. I think there's arguments to be made for both, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I'm not too strong in my
opinion. Okay, let's get into Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got the lunch and learn. That's happening noon to 1 at Brain Station. This should be pretty cool. It's Wider Funnel. Have you heard of Wider Funnel?
No.
So they're another one of the, you might think, okay, Wider Funnel, what does that mean? If you're trying to get kind of conversion and traffic, web optimization,
sure,
you might need a wider funnel to funnel that traffic.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So it should be pretty interesting. Anyway, what is conversion rate optimization is one of the topics. I guess it's a 45-minute talk and a 15-minute Q&A. And if you have time during lunch, it'd be probably worth going to, even just to get out and meet people in the community.
Yeah, maybe earlier that day you could hit up Open Coffee.
Oh, that's happening the same day.
Yeah, Tuesday's packed, man. Tuesday's packed.
Tuesday is packed. So coffee in the morning, 8 a.m. to 9:30. Nelson the Seagull. Are you going to go there?
I'm not sure. My week's been really busy, but maybe. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
That one's actually pretty cool. I've been to it before. So what happens is it's been pitched as startup drinks, but in the morning and with coffee instead of alcohol and beer and all that stuff. So,
well, the like the amount of time we have in the day has been getting longer and longer. I might actually get up for that.
Yeah. So if you're into startups or maybe have a business or maybe just want to chat with other people locally and you're not really into the whole nighttime alcohol scene, this would be an excellent alternative.
So now we're getting into one of the ones that we talked about and we weren't quite sure, does this fit with with our scene? And you kind of thought maybe not. I kind of thought, yeah, it probably does.
Sure.
And in any case, it was recommended by someone else. And we thought, sure, let's take a look at it. It's the Nonprofit Technology Show and Tell.
Yeah, it actually has, it's for people that are working in nonprofit to share the technology that they've found. Like you go there and say, well, this tool helped me. Maybe someone brings Slack. Maybe someone brings Git for like a document or something and says, I use this tool. Mm-hmm. It's for that type of, you know, sharing.
Which I think is pretty cool and pretty relevant. And I might show up to that. That's 6 p.m. Tuesday at The Hive. That's number 210, 128 West Hastings.
Cool. And then Polyglot Social.
So this is, yeah, this is something I've really been meaning to get out to. And that's happening at the same time. I'll probably end up going there, but that doesn't mean that I won't necessarily hit the one before it or at the same time as it at 6 o'clock, because the Polyglot Social usually goes for a while, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's from, it sort of says from six, like on to, when I went to the Polyglot Hack Night, which is not the same thing, but when I went there, it was done at like 9 or 10.
Yeah, so the Polyglot Social, the thing about that is it's at the St. Regis, and so you can leave, you can stay until they close if you wanted to.
Sure.
And I think some people do.
Yeah, and it's not for, the Hack Night is bring your computer and work. The social is leave your computer at home and socialize.
Yeah, so that might be pretty fun. It's at 6 p.m. at the St. Regis.
Yeah, this one I found, and this is one of those other ones that we were like, should we leave this on? Should we, you know, is this going to make sense?
Well, I totally don't think we should talk about it, but yeah, you do. And so let's, because I remember we had a similar one, I think Startup Drinks. And I was like, nah, we shouldn't talk about Startup Drinks. And you're like, you know what? It's actually not that bad.
Yeah, and then you went to one.
I went to one and it was great. so let's talk about it.
Yeah, so this one's called How I Grew My List by 700% in 2015. This is by Peter Mayer. So I thought
Petra
this one
Mayer.
Was interesting. What?
Petra?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Petra Mayer. My bad. Got to brush up on my reading. But he's going to talk about how to find new customers, which is what I thought was relevant, because a lot of people that we've talked to on our interview portions, I would say more than half of them own online businesses or run an online business in some sort of way. We talked about recruiting, which is how your business spends money, but we don't really talk about how your business can make money, which is why I think having an idea of how do I find new customers, how do I make sales, would actually be really important for a lot of people.
I agree. I don't particularly look forward to talking about or with those people.
Sure.
To me, the sales side of things is rather something I'd like to avoid. Mm-hmm. I'd much rather dig into the dev side. In fact, yeah, I was kind of surprised when we went with the name Vancouver Tech Podcast over Vancouver Dev Podcast.
Yeah.
But then there's another interesting thing. Do you think it's tech as in you know, technology or tech as in technical? Because I would like to think of it as the Vancouver technical community. Anyway, my two cents on that one.
Sure.
And then we have another one coming up that's, I think, pretty cool. The PyLadies Vancouver Intro to Testing and Test Automation in Python. So that's Tuesday, February 2nd at 7 p.m. at Open Road Communications, 12 Water Street. And that should be a lot of fun.
Do PyLadies always, what's the PyLadies about?
Well, it's about learning to code. And I think it has a theme of reaching out to the ladies in code.
Sure.
Who are learning.
Great.
We should also mention, I believe the event we said previously, the How I Grew My List by 700%, that's a paid event, isn't it?
Yeah, it's $10.
Yeah. Okay. Unlike most of the events we have in the tech community by non-salespeople.
Sure. Hey, you got to make those sales. Got to sell those tickets.
There you go. So then we have another one, How Not to Get Screwed in Venture Financing. And I thought this was potentially relevant because I think as a developer, we might often, you know, have this startup or, you know, we're starting to go somewhere and we're like, oh, well, let's get some venture financing.
Yeah.
So what do we need to know about that?
You know what the first thing a venture finance person is going to ask you? How many sales do you have? Mm-hmm. So maybe if you went to a sales event, got those sales, then you can get that venture financing later on. You know, that's
maybe,
event.
But I don't think about it like that. I would prefer to think about it in terms of how many users do you have? And I think that's a completely different thing from how many sales do you have? And we can talk about reasons why later if you'd like, or anywhere offline.
Yeah, but he basically says like what happened to me when I tried to get venture funding.
Right.
That's essentially what he's talking about. Some of the pitfalls, like what happened when he actually went out, what mistakes he made, how you can avoid them. So that'd be pretty cool if you're sort of trying to get into that space.
Yeah, it might be kind of interesting, and it might be very relevant to that one person's story, and it might be very relevant to everybody's.
Yeah.
Worth taking a look at, maybe. Another one coming up that I think is great, and I'm definitely going to be there, Public Cloud User Group. Now, if you haven't been out to this, you might ask yourself, you know, what's going on in the cloud? Have I been able to catch up on all the emerging technologies, all of the changes with Amazon, all of the changes with Azure, all of the changes with Google, Google's compute engine? Have I been able to keep up with all of the reading and all of this stuff? And honestly, if you have, then I know who you are. I know your name is Matt, and I know that you run this group, because this is kind of a what's what in the cloud.
Sure.
Here's what happened in this past month. We'll catch you up and we'll talk about some cool things. And this one has a big data and analytics focus. It should be awesome.
Yeah. So that's actually 6 to 7:30 at CodeCore.
And that's going to be awesome.
Cool. And that's events.
And that's events. And we're here with our special guest this week, Ryan St. Germain, the CEO of bcjobs.ca.
Hey, Drew, thanks for having me out today.
Thanks for being here. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself to get started?
Sure, yeah. Well, I'll start with sort of my background. I started bcjobs.ca back in 2001, and I've been working in the world of tech ever since. So have a lot of experience working with building out software, our first product, bcjobs.ca. Then we partnered with the BC Technology Industry Association recently to launch BC Tech Jobs, which helps connect tech companies with tech professionals in BC. And then because that wasn't enough, we decided to start up in 2011. So we launched Jobcast, which is a social and mobile recruiting app that has been installed by about 23,000 companies now. So it's been a fun journey.
You definitely have your hands in a lot of things. Let's go back a little before all of this started. Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Burnaby.
In Burnaby, nice. Yeah. Local.
Local guy, yeah. Which is one of Burnaby, we were talking earlier, Burnaby Tech Meetup is something that I started up with a friend who I actually went to elementary school and then did not see for 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
so that was quite cool. But yeah, born and raised in Burnaby.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. Okay, so tell us a little bit about starting bcjobs.ca. What brought that idea about?
I would love to tell you that I had a brilliant plan when I started out, but... The reality is my business partner, Johnny, who's the technical genius behind our companies, was taking his mechanical engineering in school. And being a mechanical engineer, he needed to know how things worked. So with his abundance of time, he built BC Jobs in the evening, brought it to me. I had just left a sales gig that I was in at an early age. And said, what do you think? And I said, well, you know, I'm not doing anything right now. I was on my way to Korea to train in Taekwondo, which is a far step from where I ended up.
A little bit, maybe.
I started connecting with employers and companies, and we just never looked back. The opportunity was there. Timing was right. It was 2001, so the shift from, funny to say it now, I sound old, but the shift from print to online was just starting to occur.
So this was around the time when, like, before all this, like, startup hype and startup this and startup that and the startup culture, right? In 2001.
Tech was really quiet back then. You know, we've come a long way in the last while, and it's exciting to see the opportunities that are presenting them today. The barrier to entry has gotten a lot lower. It's so easy to go in and fail, and I'm not saying we should fail, but it makes it easier to get something out, get it in the hands of users, and try. And all kinds of amazing things are being built locally and around the world, and it's every industry is being disrupted right now. It's fantastic.
So that's pretty cool. The way you make it sound was like, you know, I got together with this technical person. We got a site up and boom, everything was, you know, awesome, unicorns and rainbows. But there must have been some challenges that you faced along the way.
Oh, no, tons of challenges that we faced along the way. We couldn't rub together a job seeker and employer when we started. And, you know, this whole discussion of marketplace didn't really exist. So trying to... you know, to determine how, you know, how do you get the job seekers? Job seekers are like, well, how many jobs you got? Zero. You know, employers.
It's a chicken and egg problem, right? You need jobs to have employers. You need employers to get jobs or
exactly
all that stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we had to get really creative when we started. And we got a lucky break. CareerClick, which is the PacPress and Vancouver Sun Province, approached us And they said, hey, you know, do you guys want to repost all of your jobs? This might get long, but post all of your jobs onto our site. And, you know, and we actually had a real candid conversation with them and said, you know, you do understand we're direct competitors, right? And you do understand we charge a lot less than you guys do. And you know, being that it was so new back then, they didn't really click. And they said, yeah, yeah, but we want your jobs. We'll charge you some monthly licensing fee that was quite low.
Right.
And so we said, okay. And they, I then persisted to contact a lot of their companies and say, hey, do you want to post on BC Jobs? By the way, it'll also go here and it's a fraction of the price. Mm-hmm. And it flooded our site with job seekers coming through. So that lasted for about 9 months and it was a fantastic opportunity. And, mm-hmm. and we were really clear and upfront with them to begin with. At 9 months, they said, this might not work for us anymore. But that really did give us the break that we needed to get going.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. So actually thinking back, this was, you know, early 2000s, 2001. And this was kind of, this was before Google, wasn't it?
This was before Google. And that was our next opportunity, really, is that once that came around, I think, you know, career click or not, I believe we would have been successful in this growth regardless, because we were tenacious, we were willing to experiment, and we didn't know any better. So we were just looking for opportunities. Mm-hmm. And so the next one was Google AdWords, because back then there wasn't any competition. Since we still invest in Google AdWords, but it's not the heydays that it was when we first started. Mm-hmm. And so we just tried to ride those waves, leverage new channels, and also connect to networks that have their own built-in markets.
Wow. Okay. So that's pretty cool. There's some other stuff going on though. And I guess recently the shift toward tech, toward technical jobs has brought about the BC Tech Jobs.
Yeah. So I've always been passionate about this space. So when the opportunity came to partner with the BCTIA, I was, you know, yes, absolutely. I'm passionate about BC. I'm passionate about tech companies in BC growing. Mm-hmm. And I'm a kid in a candy store when it comes to hanging out with other tech companies and watching them grow. So for me, it was a no-brainer to get involved in that. And
for those who might not know, what is the BCTIA?
It's a good point. The BCTIA is the BC Technology Industry Association. Mm-hmm. They help tech companies in BC grow. Fabulous group of people down there that really care about the community and want to see startups and tech companies in general grow.
Okay, so that's a pretty big deal. And BC Tech Jobs is coming out of here. We're seeing a lot of, I mentioned this because you also have your hand in education as Douglas College Self-Employment Program.
Yeah, that's an initiative. I like to try to stay involved and to help where I can. You know, I've been very fortunate with the opportunities that have been provided to me. I've had a lot of help along the way through great team members as well as mentorship. And so when I was approached to be on a committee there to evaluate companies that are trying to get funding so that they can go through this program, I've met some really cool people that are trying to, you know, figure out, they've got an idea, they've got something they're passionate about, and they're trying to put that together.
So how do you think that this change toward technology and this need for tech-savvy people, software developers, even marketing now has become quite a technical position. How do you think this has been and is changing education in general?
Sir Steph, I like how you said marketing as well, too, is becoming more technical, because you really do need to know how to growth hack. You need to understand these different networks. And while you might not need to be extremely technical, you still need to understand how everything goes together. You need to understand how to track. So I think education now, there's a company called Ripen out there that is doing internships and projects where students and classes can submit what they're working on and companies can connect to them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great, because you need, you know, there really needs to be a connection between what's taught and what is needed out in the marketplace. And I think we're doing a good job of that right now. It could be better. And I think by connecting industry with the schools, you're going to get better. You're going to get the skills that are needed and get the theoretical into the practical.
Since you're sort of in the job space, and we talk a lot about like traditional school, university, college versus something like a coding boot camp, you've probably seen the rise of those technical small schools, right?
This is an interesting thing that we talk about. So we run a tech talent meetup, and we've had a couple of panels where we had senior dev leadership from Avigilon, ACL, Vision Critical, SAP, and same conversation came up as well. And it's, and I think from what I've seen from the answers to those and my own feel on it is, it really doesn't matter. It depends on the person. Some people are going to learn. Well, I've met guys like my business partner's a mechanical engineer. Mm-hmm. You know, he'd learned how to do, obviously, he thinks engineering, which in that way, so that helps. But totally different career path for him. And then I've seen other guys that have taken their, you know, their masters and they've gone, you know, they've got backgrounds in math and all kinds of, and they're fantastic developers. Mm-hmm. And then I think the answer for me is continuous learning. Mm-hmm. And however you do that, you know, I think at a certain point, if you go to a boot camp and then you don't further your computer science or your conceptual understanding of programming, and this is from a guy who's in serious trouble if he's programming, so take it all with a grain of thought.
Well, I think it makes a lot of sense. I've always been really, really impressed hearing a lot of people's stories who've been quite successful, like Bill Gates, for example, who was always learning, you know, always pushing forward. And he mentioned at a lot of his talks that, you know, he was always with some of the online education that's coming out, like Coursera, things like that, that always keeping up to date with things. I think it was, in this case, it was MIT's OpenCourseWare, one of the first ones to kind of offer that. But yeah, it continuous learning. I think that's the key driving principle for any developer, that we're developing our knowledge, our ability as we go through life. So a friend of ours, Alice Shin from Align Financial Solutions, she mentioned a pretty interesting thing that WorkBC just came out with I think it's up to a $250,000 grant for employers to train employees going forward this year. I've actually been surprised that I haven't seen more employers send their employees to boot camps to get more relevant, current, maybe smaller team, agile practices, you know, get up to date with the technologies that are relevant. Do you think this is something that might change?
I hope so. And I think we're seeing that now. I think that there's a lot of different groups that are coming together and meeting. I was at a round table with the BC Innovation Council where we had startup companies, we had the university companies out there, and we're talking about how do we make, so you've got a lot of very smart people that maybe have some legacy skills, right? Mm-hmm. And it's sort of getting those people retrained and maybe helping them on some of the newer stacks that are coming out. Because, you know, a lot of these legacy softwares are going away over time. So I think if you can re-educate people that have the foundation, that's an absolutely fantastic thing to do. And with the shortages that we have in the labor market, there's just not enough technical people. We're in the midst of a technical revolution in every industry. So there is no industry that is not a software industry, and hardware industry, in my opinion, because, you know, driverless cars, you know,
IoT devices,
everything, right? So I think it's great any way that we can help provide the people and the knowledge to grow our economy is fantastic.
So you were recently involved with organizing Amazon's hiring or interview fair?
Yeah, that was fantastic. We got to connect with Sander and the team there and help them to connect with candidates. And so mostly it was just sort of a getting the word out through our networks, our meetup, our career site.
So we noticed on the meetup page, it didn't actually have the address. So we were wondering what was, where was it?
Yeah.
it was at their downtown location, and I'm slipping right now because I can't recall. but it is at their downtown location, which I can't remember the address.
Still a secret, then.
Still a secret.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're growing fast. There's, you know, there's a lot of different things happening in this market. You know, you've got Amazon and Microsoft coming up here in a real way. You've got, you know, you've got a lot of startups that are trying to grow. And so it's an interesting environment right now for labor market, you know. And I think the interesting thing, though, is that people will gravitate towards different things, you know. People that are interested in a startup environment and kind of want maybe to be broader in their approach and are maybe a little bit more entrepreneur are going to like that area. And then, you know, those that are looking to specialize or looking to work on really cool projects that are very focused are going to be interested in some of the other companies as well. So,
yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So we're at a really interesting time, I think, in Vancouver, where we're starting to get some bigger recognition from outside, and we're starting to go through some obvious quick growth, financial, economic,
even just like,
sorry, technical
big
growth,
companies that are coming here, like Facebook and
well,
even
Facebook
now.
Left.
Oh, they left.
They left. Yeah.
And who? Then I must be thinking of somebody else. But
they did come, but their plan all along was, you know, to open some offices here, get some people, and transfer them over. And I think primarily they were not really taking local talent, but bringing international talent that was easier to bring into Canada, have them be here for a year, and then bring them down. I met a lot of French engineers who were a little disappointed that they thought they were moving to the San Francisco Bay Area and ended up in, you know, a rainy Vancouver.
Well, then Ryan, seeing that sort of shift from, you know, finding people that are, you know, outside of the country because you can't find that high technical skill, you've probably seen that change from hiring locally in 2001 to hiring remote people in, you know, 2016. So you've seen that change, right?
Well, I think it is, you know, it's a good thing and a bad thing in that you're able to, you really are able to work with distributed networks of people. You don't have to be in a central location. I still think there's a lot of value to that, depending on your organization and depending on what you're doing. So I think, you know, using that outsourced method of connecting overseas and that sort of thing is definitely one route, to go. I think for BC, we really need to look at how we're going to grow as a province in technology. And, there's two ways to get more people. And as one is to recognize that there is real shortages in the market and you can't train fast enough to bring those people in. So we have to open up the labor LMIA process and make it easier to bring in specialized people that aren't here. And then we need to start training people. I think the biggest gap we see is from junior to mid-level. So I think going back to the coding camps or the universities or whatever, and whatever method you take to get to that junior level, what are we doing as a province, you know, government, industry, education, what are we doing to help those people become intermediate and senior developers? Right? We have kind of an interesting marketplace where we've got a lot of SMB companies and then we have a handful of larger companies. So there isn't the as much opportunity to train internally. You know, the resources aren't there. And so that's where I think the grant around training is fantastic.
Absolutely.
Because it helps to do that.
It'll give a chance to go from that sort of, you know, starting out. And I think I've seen this from a lot of companies that I've been really surprised to see, to be honest, with tech companies, is that the onboarding process, especially for juniors, is just simply non-existent. It's, you know, here's some docs. Oh, yeah, yeah, of course they're out of date. You know,
that's changed.
Our code base has continuously changed for the past year since we wrote those docs.
Yeah, and by the way, there's no comments.
Yeah. Comments?
Yeah. I was going to say that with the Canadian dollar sort of in its particular situation right now, do you think you'll see American companies or even, you know, people that are maybe even in, you know, South America with their you know, high value dollar coming to Canada for cheaper, you know, quote unquote, labor?
I think there's a lot of opportunity here right now, and obviously shopping south of the border is not optimal right now, but you've got the environment in BC for starting a company, for coming here and working here. We've got, you know, you're getting 40% write off if you're from the States. You're getting access to resources like Shred and IRAP. I was actually, Jayesh from Picatick was just at a Burnaby Tech meetup. I was chatting with him, and he was up on stage as well too, and he was talking about these things. So you know, we've got, you know, what is it, 60 cents once you do the top up, or 60 some odd cents on Shred and IRAP programs where the government or the NRC is helping technically risky projects. So you've got those kind of incentives as well, and greater access to talent for everything, you know, for everything I've said around talent here. You know, you look at Silicon Valley and other areas in the States, and we are a picnic.
Yeah, that's funny.
Okay, so going forward, 2016, what are some of the things you hope to focus on and accomplishments you hope to make this year?
Yeah, so one of my goals locally, the BC jobs.ca and BC Tech Jobs is really just to foster community. It's to build a talent network of people at all levels of career. So we're doing meetups on a regular basis, the tech talent meetup that we're doing through the BCTIA and elsewhere as well. We've partnered with Spacecraft, a co-working space in Burnaby, to do a lot of events out there. So really building around community and helping employers, startups, and tech talent connect on and offline.
So do you think that, I know I actually looked at the site and I saw that there's more than just BC on there, right? Like I saw there's Ontario, there's a whole bunch of other provinces. So is there plans to sort of expand into those sort of areas as well?
There is. We definitely, our focus this year is definitely British Columbia. We think there's a lot of opportunity going on here. And that's my main goal this year is just to do more within this market. And this is my home and I like seeing it. You know, we've got another product, Jobcast, which is international. And then, you know, the BC Jobs and BC Tech Jobs is really just about building community. It's, you know, obviously got to be a sustainable, successful business to do that. And, you know, or else we won't be around long doing it. So, you know, obviously we want to grow and work closely with the tech community.
Can you talk a little bit about Jobcast?
Sure. Jobcast actually started out as a Facebook recruiting app and we threw it in the directory. It was, it wasn't great the first time we launched it, but we started to get hundreds of downloads on this thing and we realized, and going back to us talking about earlier, we've always recognized that leveraging existing markets is great if you want to try to grow. Uh-huh. And so we threw this in there and we started to get hundreds of downloads on it. And we said, okay, well, we better, find a revenue model and B, make it better.
Yeah.
And so we stepped back, we started talking with people that were using it and then we iterated and we grew that to the point where it had 23,000 installs on Facebook. It had thousands of active users and we have to date, I think we have 300 and some odd paying customers on Jobcast. And we pivoted. We realized that, we're getting great linear growth from the app. Mm-hmm. We want to knock this one out of the park, and we see a bigger opportunity to become a recruitment marketing platform for the tech industry and others after that. So we've pulled it out of Facebook and just recently launched our new version of it, which is great. It's coming along great. We've got the bug fixes of the first month are pretty much cleared out now. So that's been good. We spent a lot of time on intercom.io chatting with customers and making sure we got all that ironed out. And now we can start really pushing forward on that.
So we were over at a meetup earlier this week at Unbounce and kind of chatting with some of the people there. And something that came up, and I thought this was really interesting. They have their own dedicated space and they have a lot of community events like the one we were at where, you know, you can go in, you have some wine, you have some cheese and maybe some beer and talk with them and get to know kind of who they are and what they're about. And someone said, you know, this space kind of pays for itself in recruiting. And I thought that's really interesting. You know, if a company opens its doors and engages with the community also gets to engage with the company and, you kind of have an idea if you would like to work there or not. I think that's pretty big. How do you see, recruitment in general? How do you see this changing with the new style sort of tech company and, are all companies kind of adopting this? Should they?
It's actually kind of funny because when you think about a very technically sophisticated group of people, we do a lot of things very old school when it comes to that, you know, meeting. And I think that's, I think there's a lot of value in doing that. And one of the reasons why we've started up the Tech Talent Meetup is because we want to bring those online relationships offline. And then with Amazon doing the recruiting fair, it was sort of like, okay, well, let's test this, you know, let's test doing it for an individual company and, you know, and letting people know and helping spread the word for that. And so that was interesting, learned a lot, had a lot of success with it. And now we want to open that up to some of the other companies that are hosting those open houses. But I think it's great. You know, I think it's nice to be able to work together with different companies and you guys are doing the Hacker Nest and that sort of thing. So you similar experiences, very welcoming, very open, and definitely an opportunity for recruiting. There's, you know, so I think it makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Well, I think like even simply saying, you know, here's our office, here's what we look like, here's how it feels to be here, makes a big difference. You know, if you've been inside an office, and especially, you know, a casual sort of have a beer, have a chat, it's a lot different of a feel than, you know, walk in and have five people staring at you, grilling you with questions.
Software devs have all kinds of opportunities available to them now. So the best guys don't want to know, like, they don't want to, like, hear from HR how, like, awesome it is to work here and, like, you know, like, get sort of the, you know, you want to hang out with the senior dev leadership. You want to, like, sit with the guys that you're going to be working with and get to know, like, you know, do I enjoy being in the same room with these guys, right? Like, right, do I like, you know?
Yeah, cultural fit is huge, isn't it?
Yeah, well, me and Drew have talked before about sometimes the startup culture, quote unquote, can be a little bit gross. Like, mm-hmm. ping pong tables and beer and all this stuff. And if you're not into that, if you're into, you know, sit quietly at your desk with your headphones on and you're into that thing, those are two very opposite people, and they probably wouldn't work very well together, at least not side by side.
And equally work, like, for me, that's not my environment, you know, like, mm-hmm. But for some people that is, and there's no mm-hmm. right, absolutely. Like you say, there's no right or wrong with that. It's mm-hmm. just, I gravitate towards this, and if I try to put myself in that position, I'm not going to be successful.
Right.
They're not going to be successful. So it really is finding the right place to be. That suits your personality.
Do you find people, or at least I've seen job posts lately, that can be a little bit more picky about what kind of personality they're looking for, where in the past when I was just getting out of college, it was like just a list of stats that I needed to have, right? Or a list of requirements that I need to meet, versus like, you need to be this type of person, be cool if you're into old movies, or be cool if you're into, like, you know, paintball or whatever the thing is that they're into. Do you see that change in the job description and how they're being promoted?
I think so. And it comes down to, you know, especially in dev, right? Like my business partner, Johnny, anytime we're bringing somebody on, he provides tests and that sort of thing. And it's not always trying to figure out whether somebody can achieve, can do this specific task. It's to see how they solve problems, how they, you know, what they do when things aren't going their way. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a lot of value in doing that to see, because it's, I mean, resumes are padded, right? Like, it's working with somebody in the same room. You know, if you have an opportunity to do a small project, I think both for the developer and for the company as well, finding ways to, you know, like, hang out and work for a little while and try a small project together and see if that works, depending on the needs of the organization and everything. But it gives you a chance to, nothing proves out whether or not there's going to be a fit, like, you know, hanging out with somebody and working together.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
So there's recently been some talk about BC elementary school students having access to coding classes.
Fantastic, yeah.
Well, I guess that sums up your opinion there. I was going to say, what do you think about that? Is this a step in the right direction?
I think so. I think the, you know, regardless of going back to every industry being...
being tech.
Yeah, it's tech is a part of every industry now. So regardless of whether or not you're going to carry on in that field, having a literacy, I think it's like speaking English or learning how to speak French, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the earlier that we can get people to that level, the easier it becomes to, or get the literacy, easier it comes for them to identify whether it's something they want to pursue further. You know, maybe they won't be a dev, maybe they'll be a project manager or something else, but having that technical foundation, I think there's always value to that. Mm-hmm. And that is the language we're speaking today, so we need to make sure everybody's on the same page.
So it wasn't really that long ago that word processing or typing were considered skills, whereas today, that's just a given. If you can't use a word processor, have you never used... And, you know, it just doesn't make sense. Typing is a given. Do you think we're going to see that with code as well?
I think so. I think to a certain level, we're going to see that. Mm-hmm. You know, I definitely think there'll be people that are doing, you know, hardcore algorithms and people that have a basic understanding because they're all in the same room. Mm-hmm. All right. I think it's like the debate, like with accounting and marketing. You know, what's the joke? The marketing department finds out they have an extra, you know, $10,000 in budget. They're like, how can we spend this? And the accounting department's like, hey, we've got an extra $10,000 in budget. How can we hide it from marketing?
I didn't hear that one before. It's funny.
And it's, you know, we're all going to be working together, and we've got different personality types sometimes and different ways of, so we need to make sure that we understand each other.
Nice. Okay. So going forward, what are some of the events that are coming up that I might see at?
Yeah, so we've got a couple. We've got a tech open house February 24th in partnership with the BCTIA, so tech hub there. I still have to get out to a Hacker Nest event, so we're going to be doing that very soon. Your next one is?
I think the same week there. It's the last Monday of the month, which this month, or next month, February, is going to be the last day, the 29th. How often does that happen?
Right, cool. On. Oh, yeah. I just caught up. Anyways, yeah, so that one, and then we're also doing one in March at Spacecraft as well, too. So we're going to have another tech open house with Burnaby Tech Companies.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll probably try and make it out to both, if not at least one of them.
That'd be cool.
Each.
So people want to get in touch with you, or they are looking for, you know, BC jobs, or what they, how they can contribute if they're an employer or an employee. Do you have any tips or any advice for them?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm all over the web. So connect with me on LinkedIn. You can also email me, ryan@bcjobs.ca. Mm-hmm. I love connecting with community and finding ways to serve and help. So
awesome. Well, Ryan, thank you very much for being on Vancouver Tech Podcast.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to another episode of
VancouverTechPodcast.ca. That's our site. You can actually email us too at show@VancouverTechPodcast.ca.
Or find us in the YVR Dev Slack. I'm at Drew.
I'm at James.
We're almost always online.
You can actually get an invite to YVR Dev Slack if you haven't got one already at yvrdev.herokuapp.com.
See you there.
Bye.